Kof Beis Tammuz, Sunday the 30th of June, Rabbi Mendy Chizik, Bilom Ben Be'er, Hogu Bechorev.
There's a pasuk in Hanty the Parasha. The pasuk tells us the Gemara's Masmid Barichus that after the Nechama of Klal Yisrael against Midian, Bilom showed up again. And the Gemara, hopefully we'll soon see, tells us what Bilom was doing there. And the pasuk tells us Esbilom ben Ba'or, Harugu Bechorev, Pinchas came along, and he killed Bilom. Bilom showed his face, he reared his ugly head once again at the Nechama of Midian, and Pinchas killed him there and then. Bilom ben Ba'or, Harugu Bechorev. The Rishonim, the Rosh, here in Parshas Matos, Tadas Akenim, earlier, that came earlier in Parshas Vayetze, connect this to the story which we should be familiar with of Yaakov and Lavan. That came tells us that after in Parshas Vayetze, that after Lavan chased Yaakov and he caught him up at a place called Galeed, the Torah tells us HaKadosh Baruch Hu appeared to Lavan in the Chalom HaLaila and said to him, Lavan, leave Yaakov alone. Don't touch him. Don't harm him. And the next morning, when Lavan met up with Yaakov, they set up a pile of stones as an aid. The Torah writes, they set up a gal aid. A gal, a pile of stones, should be an aid. Aid ha-gal hazeh, says the Torah, the pile of stones should be an aid. Ve'aid ha-matzeva, the pile should be a witness that none of us will cross this place to harm each other. Yaakov and Lavan made this pact, this agreement, that none could go past this spot to harm the other. Although the Torah just mentions the detail of the stones, the Rosh adds more in, and the Rosh says that inside this they also added an extra detail. Says the Rosh, Shamati, Shoisei Cherev, the sword that Pinchas used, Hu Asher Na'atz Yaakov Avinu Begal. Yaakov Avinu inserted a sword also into the wall and said that the wall should be a witness and the sword should be a witness. And the Rishonim discuss how Bilam was connected to Lavan. Some say Bilam was Lavan, Gemara Sanhedrin. Says the Rosh Ulai, ki hoya mimishpachtoi, he was a descendant from him. Other Rishonim say, Bilam was a son of Lavan. And they say Bilam owed his very existence to Yaakov Avinu, and he was coming now to harm Klal Yisrael. The proof the Rishonim give is that when Yaakov originally came to stay in the house of Lavan, Lavan had no sons. The proof for that is very simple. Would Lavan have sent out his daughter, a young girl with a sheep, to mingle with the rough shepherds, had he had sons? Elamai, he had no sons. And Lavan admits to Yaakov later, Nisporech habayis, my house is blessed as a result of you staying here. Implying now he had a son. Bilam was the son. And Bilam was now going past the wall. Says Rashi in Parashas Bolok, Stam geder shel avonim, the pile of rocks that he went past wasn't just a pile of rocks, it was the wall that they set up as the matzeva. Yad ha'edim tieboi bo rishoino. The Torah tells us that the edim have to be the first ones to punish. So the wall came to punish Lavan, stroke Bilam, by crushing his foot on the wall. And when Bilam didn't get the message, along came the second witness, Ve'es Bilam ben Ba'ol, Horgu Bechorev, stating Rosh, stating Da'as Akedim, this was the sword that they put into the wall. Eit Hagal Hazeh, the sword is a witness, and now Yad Ha'edim, Tiyaboy Barishayna. It's interesting to note, we mentioned this, two details, the wall and the sword being a witness, and we think it happened a long time ago, but we probably paid little attention to it. There's a Ben Ish Chai in Tarnis, on a non-related topic, the Ben Ish Chai says something very interesting. He brings down a Maisa of a Yid who's travelling on business, a wealthy man, and his wagon driver was a poor guy. And as they were travelling, the driver must have thought to himself, am I mad? I'm sitting here, driving around a Yid with a lot of money. We've got no witnesses. Vayifen koi v'choi. He turned right and left. Vayar ki einish. Nobody watching. He took the Yid into the forest. He said, I'm about to kill you. I'll take your money. The Yid looked around, right to Ben Ish Chai, and he saw a bird in a tree. He said, that bird, that's my witness. And the guy laughed. Bird a witness. He killed the Yid, and he took his money. Continues the Ben Ish Chai. The guy was Nis'asher. He became very wealthy, and even became close to the king. And one day, as he's having dinner with the king in the palace, the servants bring in fine cuisine. What is this meat you're serving? Asks the goy. And the waiter replies, it's a special bird meat. And he mentions the name of the bird that was the witness. And the goy starts to laugh. He chuckles to himself. Yeah, the bird witness. Look where I am. So the king said to him, tell me, why are you laughing? You're in my palace, you can't just laugh. What's so funny? He didn't want to say. But he put him under pressure until the guy divulged the secret. He said, I must be honest and tell you that a couple of years ago, I killed a Yid, I took his money. That bird, he cried before he was killed. That bird should be the witness. Look where he is, look where I am. King said, no. If you killed a Yid for your money, that bird is a witness. And he killed him, and he returned the money to its rightful family. As brought down by the Ben Ish Chai in Ta'anis Dav Ches, we see that sometimes what we think is our innate objects, they can't really be a witness, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who's Yodea HaKoil, the Chayev and the wall were set up as a witness, and they acted as a witness. That is L'Choyla, Poshut Pshat and Posuk, Fe'espilom Ben Bo'ol, Hogu Bechoyev. I want you today to borrow a vault from the Biskarov and embellish it and explain it with a bit more arichus, a bit more amkus, and come away with a fascinating idea of Bilom Ben B'Oyer Hogu B'Chorev. There's a Gemara in Sota, Chofes Amabes. The Gemara in Sota talks about Yanai HaMelech before he died. Rashi brings down the famous background. The background is the Gemara in Kedushin, Samach Vov, where Yanai HaMelech, the Gemara tells us, killed out many, many Chachomim. And before he died, his wife was scared that the Chachomim would take revenge against her and her family. So Yanai HaMelech said to his wife, Al Tisyari, don't be frightened. Mina Prushin. Let's just refer to the tzaddikim. Rashi says, Ha Prushin ha yesoin in oisoi. The Prushin would have hated him. Lifi shahara kachomim harbe. And when he died, his wife was frightened. So he said to her, don't be frightened of them. Tzaddikim heim. They are tzaddikim. You have nothing to be frightened of. Also, you don't need to be frightened. Mimisha Einon Purushin. You also don't need to be fearful of those who are completely not tzaddikim, the non-tzaddikim. They're my friends. You're safe from them. Elo min ha-tzavuim, says the Gemara Sota. You deserve to be frightened of the tzavuim, says Rashi. Kaloima, we're here in the background, says Rashi, Kaloima. She'ein mar isom ketal doisom. They act one way, but they behave differently. On the outside, it looks wonderful, but inside, their behavior doesn't match up. They are the tzavuim. They are the colorful people. They color themselves. They disguise themselves on the outside as looking one thing, but inside, their behavior is different. Says the Gemara, Shemaseyan Maisa Zimri. They add that Zimri. But they cover it up. Umevakshin Schar Kepinchos. They want Schar Kepinchos. Let's try to understand that, Yabu Yisai. What does it mean at Tzavuin? Somebody who acts one way behaves differently. The Biskarov brings down the Gemara in Sanhedrin. With the Gemara that talks about how Bilam got Klal Yisrael Bechlal to the level of doing morality, immorality. How did Bilam get there? And the Gemara in Sanhedrin, in two places, in Peches, in Pebeis, and the Kovov, the Gemara is very Mazbe, Barichus, and the Gemara says that the women of Moav set up tents, when invited the men into them, but they said to them, before you come and do Zanus, before you come and live with us immorally, just a little bit of avoid the Zora, please. A little mini service to the idols, and then everything's fine. We'll be yours. So Bilam got Klal Yisrael into double trouble. They sold their lives and their neshamas. They sold their neshamas to the idols and their lives to the Bnei Smoyov. Says the Brisker Rav, that Zimri came up with a logic, a false logic. Listen to what Zimri had in his mind. He said, listen, for us to go out there to meet the Bnei Smoyov, well, we'll fall in the trap of Avodah Zorah Plasanus. I don't want to. But if I bring the Bnei Smoyov into Klal Yisrael, I bring them in, then we'll save Avodah Zorah. Zanus. It's only Zanus. Zimri started making pshorus with Avodah Hashem. Zimri started compromising. Listen, instead of doing two Avodahs, we'll do one. Until Pinchas came along and said, once you're a person who we don't know where you stand with you, you claim you're a tzaddik, but look at you inside, you're compromising. A type of person like this can't live. Those are the words of Yanai HaMelech. The danger is, the spiritual danger of a Klal Yisrael is somebody who looks the part, but doesn't act the way. What was Zimri doing? Zimri was simply coming along with a dangerous argument. Instead of doing two averas, bring the Bnei Smoyov into town, no avodah zara, just immorality. And Pinchas zu Eliyahu, because Eliyahu HaNovi said exactly the same as Pinchas. Eliyahu Bahar HaKarmel stood proudly and said to the Nevi Habal, so make up your minds. Ad Mosai atem poischem al shnei se'ifim. For how long can you be bouncing around on the two posts? Im Hashem hu elekim, lechu acharav. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky Zatzal used to say that the two of se'ifim Shulchan Aruch we're not that fussy about. We were sitting on Sunday morning, not long after Melava Malka, the time of Shabbos went out. People they seem to forget there's a Sefer Shulchan Aruch, one should eat a Suda on Rav Malka. There's also a Sefer Shulchan Aruch, that person should have an extra Suda on Rosh Chodesh. When we rush off to work, we forget about this two Sefer. Rabbi Yaakov used to say, Atz Milzit Ibdichusa, Ad Mosa Atem Poischim, how long will you ignore Ashtay Seifim, the two Sefer Shulchan Aruch, which tells the importance of the Sudas of Rosh Chodesh and Rav Malka. Rabbi, you should know the word Sulam Mutzav Arzo, in Parash Vayetze, when Yaakov in his dreams saw Sulam Mutzav Arzo, Shaitan Yishoinim, Sulam is Rosh Hatevis, Udas Livui Malka. The Suda of Melava Malka is, people think, what is it? But Yoishoi Magia HaShamayimo, the Goish goes away to Shamayim. So Eliyahu HaNovi came to the Oivdei HaBaal and said the same thing, make up your minds, which side of the fence are you? Im Hashem Huelekim, Lechu Acharov. Im HaBaal Huelehim, Lechu Acharov. And we find the same thing in Chazal earlier, that Peshorah is a Yiddishkeit also. We find by Rivka Imenu, when Rivka was Mubeyes, Rivka was carrying her twins inside her. Every time she passed the base of the Zorah, Esav wanted to leave. When she went past the base of Medrash, Yaakov wanted to leave. She thought, I'm carrying a meshugan over here. He doesn't know where he exists. He doesn't know where he lives. He's a pashrin. He wants this and he wants that. Only when she went to the Beis HaMedrash of Shem Va'eva and she heard, Shnei goyim bevitznich, there's no pshoros. You've got to side to a child who's over Hashem and a child of Rosh, well, she calmed down. The Shlomis is in Brochus. That we say, Havdol echoinen hadoas. We said last night, in Atochen Atonu, we said, Havdol echoinen hadoas. Says the Yerushalmi, because in ein das, if you haven't got the knowledge, havdolah minayin, how can you say havdolah? Now, boys, let me ask you a simple question. How many of us need das to separate between oil and choshech? We know, a child a few months old, and you turn the light on at bedtime, he screams, dark! We need das for that. We have to put in havdolah, in choinen hadoas, because as Yerushalmi says, it may have das, have dolim in ayin. The Targum says, that's not pshat in Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi doesn't mean for one second that I need someone to teach me the difference between light and dark. I need the das not to mix up the two, but to always keep them separate. The Havdol is to keep Yisrael, I mean separate. Shabbos and Sheish Shemei Maaseh, separate. And not to mix oil and choshech, to know what is oil, to know what is right, and to know what is dark. Reb Chaim Zatzal, Reb Chaim Brisk, said over a moshel, l'mo'ad avadoyma, to a yid, who had plenty of spoons and forks, but he only had one knife. You can't go but do much in your kitchen with only one knife. So he came up with a pshora, a wonderful idea. He'll use one side of the knife with butter, and the other side of his knife for his meat. I'm a chayah. Only one knife to wash up. Less washing up to do. And he couldn't even see the need for more knives. I'm sorted. So Reb Chaim, he doesn't understand. If you make a pshora in your avodas Hashem, you try to compromise, the whole thing is truth. Talfus. Chaznish used to relate that the Yidden of Frankfurt sent people to Reb Chaim Oizer to ask Reb Chaim Oizer if he could send them a Rav. The Yidden in Frankfurt were looking for a Rav. So the delegation came to Reb Chaim Oizer. They didn't just want a Rav. They wanted a Rav who was educated, who'd been through medicine school, who was also a doctor. Should be somebody well-versed, well-spoken, well-presentable, educated with degrees, have been through science. Please can we have, they said, a Rav and a doctor together. Chamoiz's reply was very sharp. He said, if there's a doctor next to the Rav, it means the Rav is sick. Such a Rav you don't want. I said, Chaim Oizer, get it. When we come along with the Zimri-style arguments, I'm not sure this way, I'm not sure that way, we'll take half an Aveira and already call that a mitzvah. That's called Oizer Maase Zimri on Vakishchau Kapinchos. That was awesome. The Gemara Megillah tells us, you place, that when it came to the Suddus HaChashverosh, people were able to sit and drink. People could sit and drink as much as they wanted. Nobody was forced. Like the desire of every person. And I'm personally very happy with that shot. It's a wonderful pasuk. It makes perfect sense. I don't see the need for Chazal to change it. The pasuk says, Kiritzoyin ish vo ish. People could drink as much as they wanted. Nobody's forced. So it's a pella why the Gemara in Megillah Yud Beis has a different pshat. The Gemara says, they sat and drank, Kiritzoyin ish vo ish. Says the Gemara, that the two ishim over here are Mordecha and Haman. Mordecha was an ish, Ish Yehudi, and Haman.
Ish Tzavoyev.
Why does the Gemara Megillah feel it necessary to change from the Poshet to Pshat? Can so comfortably mean and so feel so settled with us that every person had the free will to decide what he wanted to drink. So the Pchatzkel, because Ish defines somebody who knows what he's doing. The only two people throughout the story of the Megillah who knew what they were doing were Modcha and Haman. Modcha knew exactly what he was aiming for. Haman also knew exactly what he was aiming for. He said, Bailim, Ish, Klal Yisrael at the time, were Pashionim. Oh, we'll go to the Suda now, but we'll still catch Mincha, and we'll still have Marav Bezmanoi, and we'll be up in time for the first Zman Krishna. Everything with the Suda Bachashverish inside. Those is Pashionim. Kiritzoin Ish Vo Ish, said the Pchatzkel, means that people who knew exactly what they were doing, knew exactly where they were standing. Kiritzoin Ish Vo Ish, and nothing else. So the Chidot, in Tehillim, said in Tehillim, Kof Yudches, a pasuk we all know, Hashem li bo'ezroi, v'ani ereb esoinoi. How dare we say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ani ere, I can deal with my soinim, my enemies. I want you sometimes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but I'm comfortable and strong enough and confident enough to deal with my enemies. Am I? V'ani ere besoinoi. So the Chido, against somebody who you can see is an oyev, and you can see as a soine, ani ere, I can see, I can deal. But Hashem li bo'ezroi, I need HaKadosh Baruch Hu's help for when the people who are coming against me don't appear to be against me. The words of Yanai HaMelech, be frightened of the tzavuim, says the Biskarov, Pinchos zu Eliyahu. Because Pinchos and Eliyahu both came to fight the same Mechama. They both came to fight against those who often compromises. Looking what they're part on one hand, but acting differently. There's an unbelievable Gemara in Sanhedrin, Samach Gimel on base. The Gemara there says, regarding a different doy, the Gemara says, Omar Vidom Arav, Yoidim Hoyu Yisrael, Bavoidas Krichovim, Shein Bamamish. Klal Yisrael knew that Avoidas Zora has got nothing in it, it's empty. So why did they do it? For the Ovdu Avoidas Krichovim, Elola Hatirlohem Aroyas Befahesia, says Rashi. Klal Yisrael knew that Avoidas Zora was rubbish and empty. But they served it in order to permit a compromise. So they can say to Chacham, listen, we've turned away from Avodah Zarah, at least let us be over our Yetzer Hara and do Zanus. Rashi. Klal Yisrael turned away from Avodah Zarah, knowing it was empty, only b'chadei they can say, listen, look what we've done. We're Ovdei Hashem. That is Oysel Maaseh Zimri, Umvak Yitzchak Pinchos. The Gemara Sanhedrin Vav Amud Beis tells us, "Boitzia bireich niyetz Hashem." And the Gemara there offers kama v'kama pshotim. What does the pasuk mean? "Boitzia bireich niyetz Hashem." The Gemara there says the word "boitzia" refers to a pshora. And the Gemara in one pshat talks about Yehuda. The Gemara says Yehuda was a boitzia. Because Yehuda said to the brothers, Ma betza, what money is there if we just take our brother and sell it and kill him? Ma betza, there's no money in it. Let's sell him and we'll make some money on the side. As we know, later in the Doilus, we'll mention shortly on Tisha B'Av, the repercussions of the Asor HaRogei Malchus. So Yehuda sold his brother for money, saying, Ma betza. What point is there? What money do we have if we just kill him? Ma'betzak in Harigas Ochinu. Shit in Chazal, the Betzaz Rosh Tevis, Boike, Sahagayim, Erev. What tachlis will there be in our tefillahs if our hands are covered in the blood that we're going to spill for the soldier? Says the Gemara, Boitzea Bereich. You bless Yehuda, who is a Boitzea, Nietz Hashem. You've angered Hashem. Shnei Gedoilim Nisnabnu B'Sigla and Echod, the Marsho and the Stipler, both say the same fascinating vort in the Gemara. Yehuda wasn't really being offering a pshoda, was he? He was saying, Ma betza, what money is there if we just leave our brother and kill him? What money is there? Says the Stipler and the Marsho, that over here Yehuda was also offering a pshara. Listen to what they say. Yehuda understood, at the end of the day, the responsibility is his. To look after his brother, Yehuda, the head of the brothers. And he was frightened to leave Yosef at the bottom of the pit. What will happen? What will be? What will my father say to me? I want to bring him back. But on the other hand, he was frightened to argue with his brothers. He's the minority. He thought, on one hand, I want to bring him back. On the other hand, dare I suggest that to my brothers? They'll kill me as well. So he offered a compromise he thought he could get away with. Let's sell him. Mabetza. The offer of Mabetza, says the Marashah, was a compromise. We'll sell him. That way we'll have some money. Says the Marashah, quoting the Gemara Soto, a person who starts in the mitzvah, as Yehuda did, and doesn't end it, the pshol of Yehuda, it cost him his wife, but his wife passed away as we know. He was maschil b'mitzvah, he didn't end. Pshola. And that is what we find by Bilam ben Bo'o. Bilam ben Bo'o, Shaitin Targav Insan ben Azil, in our parasha. When Pinchas came to kill Bilam, the Insan ben Azil talks about Bilam. Bilam said certain shemus. Bilam was flying, and Pinchas pulled him down. So he said to him, I'm going to kill you. So Bilam pulled out his heart to him and said, why? I'll praise you. If you keep me alive, didn't I praise you? I'll look after you. I'll shield you. So Pinchas thought to himself, this man doesn't know where he's standing. On one hand he's cursing us, now he's offering to bless us. He's a person who doesn't know where he is. He's been Paseach HaShneisifim. And it stems with the Gemara Sanhedrin, where the Gemara asks, what Apikoros asked, I think it was of Chista, how long did Bilam live for? He said, must be 33 or 34. Lo yechetsu yameim. They don't get even half of their lives. A person who's a pashrin, who's always trying to do, live on one side of the fence and on the other, Paseach HaShneisifim, says the Gemara, lo yechetsu, they don't even get a half of their lives. And the Min said to Chista, I think it was, you're right, I found an old Pinchas, an old handwriting booklet, Bilam Taka lived to 33 or 34. But when Pinchas came along and wanted to kill Bilam, and Bilam starts shouting, you want to kill me? I cursed, I blessed. Dashan Apashan, Admosat, and Poisam Ashnei Se'ifim. And without we understand the vote we started off with, why Pinchas had to kill Bilam. And those are pshat in the Brishka Rova, Pinchas, Zueliyo. But Pinchas said to Zimri, and to Bilam, Admosat and Poisam Ashnei Se'ifim, how long will you be jumping around on both fences, wanting the best of both worlds? And that was Elio, Bahar HaKarmel, will attack of Zoycha very, very soon, to be able to follow the call of Im Hashem Elokim L'chu Acharon.